This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Each and every Friday morning, we take some time to spotlight things that are happening in District 61. And Ron Leibarger joins us, English teacher at Eisenhower High School. Ron, good morning. Thank you for being with us again. It's good to have you here. Tell me what you did in and around Martin Luther King, and you focused on the I Have a Dream speech. What did you do with your students?
Well, that's correct. Thank you, Brian, for having me. We started out with an essential question relative to this concept of freedom in the midst of oppression. And the question was, how does one find freedom in the midst of oppression? And of course, one part of our curriculum directed us to the speech by Martin Luther King Jr. And the initial concept of this was outside of our curriculum. I always like to allow students the opportunity to read some of these seminal U.S. documents, and then not only that, but synthesize what is actually being said in those documents, and then if they can, apply their opinion outside the realms of the classroom, which means into the public forum, which makes them somewhat actionable. So what I tried to do is have the students read the speech first and foremost. Many of them had never read the whole speech. I think many people probably haven't. We know some of the key phrases, but I think the most important part is to read the speech in its entirety to know exactly what was MLK's dream. And the biggest question was, I posed to them, to what degree has it been achieved? And they were to research, first of all, deconstruct the entire speech and find out exactly what his dream was, and then do some individual research and come to a conclusion as to, did they think the dream has been achieved at all? Has it been partially achieved, or has it been fully achieved? And then we had a Socratic seminar debate via Google Classroom and Google Meets, in which they voiced their opinions, and culminating in a letter to the editor, to the Decatur Herald and Review, who have been so gracious to publish 26, I think, or 27 of the students' letters. And these are freshman students, by the way, at Eisenhower. It was a 2.5-page spread here recently.
All right, and historically speaking, I don't know if you can average such a thing, but do we have more or less as far as, you know, incoming freshmen really, reading and knowing about things in what seems like recent history to me, but to them seems a lot longer ago?
I think it becomes increasingly less and less to that point, that so much of our information, I think, comes in the form of a meme or something they find on social media, and this is not just incoming freshmen, but people in general, I think, have managed to limit their scope of what they read, and we tend to kind of just get sound bites of things. And I don't know how many people have actually ever read the entire speech. You know, if we were to take an average poll of the citizens who have read it, I don't know how many that would be. I doubt very few of us who are under the age of 50 or 40 or so. So I see that students are reading less and less when it comes to these kind of seminal U.S. documents, even things such as the Declaration of Independence, which I also have them read and deconstruct.
Yeah, it is. You make an accurate point there. It's not just incoming freshmen. You know, it's people across the board. When we've never had a time in the life of human beings to have more information at our fingertips, but yet we have sort of boiled it down to what can we fit in a picture on Instagram, and I think we're all guilty of that.
I would agree, and there are ways to get around that. I think that in this kind of era of mass communication and, you know, group polarization, it becomes so much more important to look at all sides of the issue. And that's what I attempted to give to the students, this opportunity to not only read this document, but to apply it to their contemporary lives and what they're seeing. And many of them came to some realizations from this opportunity that, well, in a lot of cases, they didn't think that MLK's dream has come true at all. And then some were more in the middle. I don't think anyone said it had been fully actualized. So,
what did you learn in this process?
Well, I learned it's important to apply what one learns outside the walls of a school. And I think the quicker we can do that, like with freshman students, the more opportunity they will have to let their voices shine as they become sophomores, juniors, seniors, and then eventually graduates. And as soon as they realize that there is power in their words, and that's afforded to them by our Constitution, their lives become relevant outside the walls. Because I think so many times, even in my own education in high school, and partially the reason why I became a teacher, I didn't learn much. I learned how to memorize and take a test, but outside of that, I didn't understand the application of what was going on in the classroom and how it's supposed to be applied in citizenry.
We're talking to Ron Liebarger, who is an English teacher at Eisenhower High School, who did an MLK, I Have a Dream speech study, in which his students then would deconstruct and write letters to the editor, and we'll talk to one of those students here in just a couple of minutes. But it is amazing to me, what is it like, you know, still now in this pandemic and you're not back in the classroom? How difficult has that been from just a teacher perspective?
Well, for folks like me, and I think most teachers who really rely upon that rapport that's built face-to-face with a student and the camaraderie and the mutual learning and the family atmosphere, it's been rough. I'll be honest with you. It's been very tough because I think what has come out of it as a positive is that we were realizing that relationships can't be built electronically. And maybe that's a conversation we'll have when we do get to come back in person at some point, and maybe value those relationships a little more, even in the classroom with our peers, in the world at large. I think that electronic communication has its place, but at the end of the day, it doesn't even hold a candle to the personal relationships that are built in the classroom and then the education that happens thereafter.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's all over the place as well for the kids. What's your perspective on how difficult a time it's been for them?
I think they've managed. I think our students are resilient. I think that it's been tough for them, though, whether it be electronic snafus to not understanding assignment. I mean, all of our teachers have office hours where we can work with students one-on-one, but again, it's still in front of a screen. It's not real time. It's not a personal relationship. So I think they've struggled in that regard, the building of personal relationships. I think that maybe students have become a little less confident in what they know and being willing to take risks, whether that be turning on a camera and saying hi or even just conversing and letting the class hear their voice. We do some read-alouds. That's been a little bit of a struggle to get volunteers to do that. So it's just that kind of interpersonal relationship that's built that's hard to do electronically. But I think that they have managed to struggle through. And I think along with them, I'm hoping we can get back to actual class soon.
Ron, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for joining us today. Ron Liebarger, who is an English teacher at Eisenhower High School, part of our DPS 61 Spotlight presented by Tate and Lyle each and every Friday morning. They took I Have a Dream speech. I've told you, Nick, if you are ever lucky enough or fortunate enough to visit the nation's capital and you go to the Lincoln Memorial and you walk up those famous steps, we just saw the whole thing, you know, the other night where they used that as the base of sort of that celebrating America. There is an X etched into the step where Martin Luther King stood and delivered that speech. And when you stand there and you look at that X, it's a palpable, it's hard to describe, but I mean, it is like an amazing moment to stand there. You know, I'm an old guy, so, you know, this is a much more recent history to me than it is to many people in life, particularly freshmen who are coming in. But it's a powerful feeling when you're standing there thinking about looking out across that, that venue, and then putting that historically with what you see with the imagery of the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were there and what a moment in history it was.
It's one of the handful of moments in United States history that have been most impactful, most touching, and most symbolic. I mean, the words lined up with the images at the time that they needed to be heard, and change was made starting from that moment and before, but it is... That's why it still rings true to this day.
All right, but how far have we come? And we welcome Trinity Ingram to the program. She is one of those students that Mr. Liebarger was just talking about. Trinity, good morning. Thank you for being with us today. How much did you know about the I Have a Dream speech when you were starting this project?
Well, I've always kind of known about, you know, the major lines in the speech, but in between I didn't know about everything he was talking about. Like, we all know the line about how he says, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Kind of the main one that we all know.
Absolutely. And did you find this interesting, you know, along with your classmates, taking a little deeper dive into this and then stacking it up, in a contextual way about where we are in America in 2021?
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. I liked how everyone had their different opinions on where we came and, like, how much we've grown from the time of this speech. I really enjoyed talking about that.
Okay, and then you wrote a letter to the editor. Was that your first letter to the editor?
Yes.
And what did you learn about that process?
I learned that I really had to, I wanted to express my feelings in the letter, so I wanted to write about what I thought, and I wanted to express that so it would be in the letter.
All right, and what is your major takeaway, not only learning about the history of the speech, but where we are today as the United States of America?
Where we are today, I feel that Martin Luther King's dream has not yet fully been achieved. I believe that we have come very, very far as with our rights, but justice is still not being served for certain people of color. People are being killed, and I don't think that's right, and the Black Lives Matter movement, we all know about that. And I believe that we all should make our voices heard so everybody knows that we need to have his dream be fulfilled fully and not just see each other by the color of our skin.
All right. And Trinity, are you hopeful that we're heading down the right path?
Yes, I believe that we are, especially with the whole Black Lives Matter movement and everything that's been happening. People have been speaking up, like, just the little things help. And I want everyone to know that. Just the little things help. Just talking about it, spreading the word, everything helps.
All right, Trinity, I enjoyed your letter very much. Thank you for being with us today, and we look forward to seeing you as a leader in our community. Trinity Ingram, one of the students at Eisenhower High School participating in this project. I think this stuff is so empowering, Nick, to kids. And when I say kids, I don't mean that in a pejorative way. When you're 54, everybody's a kid. But the idea of not only learning about it, but then literally laying that over, from the historical point of view to where we are today, that in putting it into feelings, then into words, and constructing a letter and sending it to be read by everyone, I love these kind of projects.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.